Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Setter. I'm joined by a very special guest, a weekly guest we're going to have every 2 weeks on the podcast. Really appreciate him doing this. Kevin Bowen, you know him from the legendary Kevin's Corner podcast over on 107.5 The Fan. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Well, thank you for calling it legendary, Evan. And happy to join you during the season. It'll be fun to be on every Wednesday, or every other Wednesday, to say.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. And I listen to it all the time. You and Julie Molinaro do a really good job over there. If you just to get a free promotion for you guys, Beers with Bowen is August 28th. I believe it's at St. Joseph's Brewery, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to be there. Hopefully, my listeners, if you're listening to this, if you haven't heard that yet, you'll be out over for Kevin's Corner and Beers with Bowen on August 28th. But we can dive right into this, Kevin, as far as our main topic goes. We're going to keep it short because I know you covered it plenty on your podcast. The Andrew Luck injury. Today is August 21st. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. What's your latest lean on this? Because it feels like the shoulder injury was more concrete than this. This seems to be changing every other day. So I don't blame you if you don't really have an answer right now. But on August 21st, 9 in the morning, where are you leaning right now?
I'm glad you threw the timestamp on there because I do think it's something that you have to use every time you give a guess on whether Andrew Luck will be ready week one or not. Right now, Wednesday morning, 9 a.m., the 21st, I will say 55% chance he plays week one. I would say that this time last week, I probably was thinking Jacoby Brissett's going to start after hearing Chris Ballard on the conference call. Then the more I thought about it, I just felt like Andrew Luck would try to play through some sort of pain threshold. Then I saw what happened on Saturday, and I was like, all right, that video is pretty good evidence, and I think that is some solid development in his availability for week one. So I probably was above 60%. But after hearing what Frank Reich said yesterday on him missing another week of practice, you know, part of me in the back of my mind thinks Andrew Luck will gut it out and play through that pain. But then also part of me is like, has everything he's gone through with his shoulder and how he's vowed to himself not to, you know, play through pain and skip steps and all those things, does that keep him off the practice field or off the playing field if he's not 100% come September 9th or September 8th? So I think that's something that you just have to be honest with ourselves right now. When considering when does Luck get back to practice, is he willing to play through pain, all those things. Part of me still thinks the competitor inside of him is there, and a 90% Andrew Luck with no risk of further injury would give it a go, but I still have some skepticism on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It really is close to 50-50 right now for me, and I wanted to ask you real quick about Luck before we go on to Jacoby Brissett for a few minutes. If he is at, let's say, 80-90% the entire season, I've been saying the entire time that he's going to have to play through this pain. It's not going to be 100% at any point this season, which is how late it is in the process. How good is this team, Kevin, with an 80 to 85, 90% Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, Evan. I think it's a 9 or 10 win football team. You know, I've kind of put the over under with a healthy Andrew Luck at 10.5 because I think the schedule is difficult. But I think to truly be, you know, on that one or two line with Kansas City and New England, I think you have to have a 100% Andrew Luck. I've mentioned it before on my podcast. And I mean, you can look at plays from last year and there are some huge moments in the season where a limited Andrew Luck from a calf, ankle, whatever you want to call it standpoint, I don't know if he would have made those plays late in the Miami game, late in the Giants game, two games you easily could have lost at Lucas Oil Stadium. The first drive of that Tennessee game, in the win and get in playoff game, kind of pirouetting out of the pocket and delivering that third down strike in the red zone to Dontrell Inman. If Andrew Luck doesn't feel comfortable in his lower body, does he make that play? Does he think that he can make that play? Those are questions that I have. And sometimes we just take those plays for granted, but in the scheme of a 60-minute football game, that play can be the difference. Now, I know the Tennessee game turned into a bit of a, you know, multi-score game, but not the Miami game or the game against the Giants. So, I think if Andrew Luck is 85 or 90% and limited in what he can do from a mobility standpoint, I don't feel as confident as believing this team is capable of making a run in the month of January.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you there as well, Kevin, because like you mentioned, his mobility is so underrated in the pocket. And we saw it even against Buffalo and Cleveland at points where Brissett is just a little level or two below that as far as his awareness in the pocket goes. But I wanted to hit on Jacoby Brissett for a couple minutes with you, Kevin, and how confident are you? Let's just hypothetical situation, of course. Let's say Luck missed the first month of the season, those first four games. How confident are you not only in Brissett, but also Frank Reich, who's had his own backup quarterback stuff with the Nick Foles situation in Philadelphia? scheme up a system where they could maybe go 500.
Well, I think that's a good point when you bring up Frank Reich. You know, many times I was, you know, during training camp practices, you've been to enough, Evan. There are some, you know, kind of lulls during practice. So us and the media members always kind of pitch these wild ideas off each other. And I think one of the back and forth was, you know, if you had to take Darius Leonard away from the defense or Andrew Luck away from the offense, you know, who would you feel more confident in being able to scheme up the other unit to have a lot of success? And I think it is Frank Reich. You know, I just think given his history, given how much time he's probably had to prepare to think about this, I mean, the Colts have had 30 practices this year as of Wednesday morning. Jacoby Brissett has been the starting quarterback under center in 11-on-11 drills in every single one of those 30 practices. So Frank Reich has certainly thought about it. So I do think that you have a chance to go 500. Let's say Andrew Luck misses the first four games of the season. I do think you have a chance to go 500 without Jacoby Brissett. Now, I think it's paramount you go at least 2-2, because what you are looking at week five with Kansas City, Andrew Luck healthy or not, that's probably a loss. If you go 1-3 of those first four games, then you lose to Kansas City and you're 1-4, that's a big hole to climb out of. If you go 2-2, I think you can withstand more of a 2-3. I know it's just one game, but I think you just feel a little bit better comfort-wise with that. But I think where the Colts have so much confidence, something I just posted at 107.5thefan.com, when you hear Chris Ballard use the phrase and say the phrase, this is not 2017. When he says that, he's not necessarily talking about the severity of Andrew Luck's injury. Yes, it is much different. He's not just had surgery on a torn labrum, on his right throwing shoulder, probably the most important body part of him. This is a calf strain turned into an ankle issue with, so far, no surgery needed. So, yes, that is one part of it. But where Ballard is really coming with that statement, he believes that the team around Jacoby Brissett is much better suited. You know, it's kind of crazy. When you look back on the week two start Jacoby Brissett had in 2017, his first start here in Indianapolis against the Cardinals, Kamar Aiken was his number two wideout that day. The interior of his offensive line was, God bless him, Jeremy Vucinovic, Deshaun Bond, and Jack Muhort. Two guys are out of the NFL right now in Muhort and Bond. And then Vucinovic, I think he's hanging on by a thread in Arizona. So now Jacoby Brissett has a little bit deeper wideout core of a Devin Funchess, potentially a healthy Paris Campbell, a Deion Kane. His offensive line has the 6th overall pick at left guard, the 18th overall pick at center, and Mark Lewinsky, who played really good football for the Colts last year. And then defensively, away from Jacoby Brissett, but just in terms of complementary football, it's not this aging unit that's making such a drastic schematic change going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. At the time, it was still kind of a 3-4 defense with probably the thought in Chris Ballard in the back of his mind of like, all right, we're going to be a 4-3 sooner or later. So I think all those reasons factor into, yes, the Colts, I think, certainly should feel better about what they have. But that start of the season at the Chargers, who I know are really banged up, and at the Titans, those are still two pretty difficult games for me.
Before we go on to our next segment here, I want to tell everyone really quickly about a couple of sponsors of today's show, which are both part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The first one is Locked On Fantasy Football. Fantasy football listeners, make sure to listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else, then you're the same. Get the edge from Vinny, they'll put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on the Locked On Podcast Network on your favorite podcast provider. The new Locked On NFL show, by the way, is on fire. Lexico is one of the most listened to NFL shows. With expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson, hosted by Brian Peacock, Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. I know Frank Reich has said he won't really change much if Jacoby Brissett starts, let's say, the first few games, but I'm too naive to believe that just because Andrew Luck is such a different player than Jacoby Brissett. It's a couple tiers down from where Luck is to Brissett. Where do you lean as far as how the offense would look, let's say, the first few weeks if Luck indeed doesn't go and it's Brissett behind center?
You know, it's funny that you say that. I was going to the bathroom, not to get too graphic here in your podcast, I was going to the bathroom during Saturday's game against the Browns, and a scout from the Chargers was in there, you know, doing just some prep work. And was talking to another scout, who mentioned, you know, who do you guys have week one? And the Charger scout was like, we got the Colts. And the other scout was like, oh, you better hope that that quarterback doesn't play. And the Charger scout goes, well, yes, obviously, but the good news is they both are very similar quarterbacks in their style of play. And I do tend to agree with that. You know, I it's not like you're going from some, you know, dual threat, mobile Philip Walker sort of read option guy to, you know, a big 6'4", I want to stand in the pocket all day and chuck it 35 times guy. So I do think you won't have to change up a whole lot from what you would call play-wise. Obviously, there will be certain plays that Jacoby Brissett is going to want to have versus an Andrew Luck, but I don't think you're going to see a whole abundance of read option stuff, or, you know, all of a sudden you're going to throw a bunch of deep balls. You know, I don't think it's going to be that drastic of a change, but, you know, it's something that Jacoby Brissett and Frank Reich definitely know, and they've talked about throughout the entire offseason of what they like. Frank Reich calls all the plays in the preseason. You know, some coaches have their assistants do that, or have their, you know, offensive coordinator up and coming. Frank Reich doesn't do that. He handles all that play calling in the preseason. So he's going to know what Jacoby Brissett wants and what are his strengths.
Yeah, I think it's going to be super interesting to watch if Brissett does indeed start week one and beyond for the Colts. Just this Andrew Luck situation is so curious now. Just day by day, it's changing. It's so fluid. But this is a fun exercise here, Kevin. I want to do it with you really quickly. I don't want to put you two on the spot, but Frank Reich has said that he believes Jacoby Brissett is the top 20 quarterback. So I wrote down the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and I wanted to say yes or no if the Colts would be better off without this player compared to Jacoby Brissett, if you're ready to go.
Ooh, okay. All right. I like this.
All right. So let's do Jacoby Brissett versus Eli Manning. Would the Colts be better off with Eli?
For one game, yes.
Okay. Case Keenum?
No.
Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes. Although Josh Garoppolo was terrible the other night.
No, yeah, he's certainly getting that rust off of him. Josh Rosen?
Jacoby is better.
Okay. Lamar Jackson?
I'd probably go with Lamar, but I mean, again, just for the one game unpredictability of, you have to get ready for kind of a totally different mobile quarterback. But Frank Reich would have to change his system big time.
Yeah, for sure. Jameis Winston?
Probably Winston.
Okay. Marcus Mariota?
Gosh, he plays so bad against the Colts, but yeah, I would still go with Mariota.
Okay. Andy Dalton?
Oh, gosh, I'm so done with Andy Dalton. The Bengals should have tried to trade for Jacoby Brissett in the offseason. I'll go with Brissett over Dalton.
Okay, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Dalton's really overrated. That could be the tank for Tua team this year, in my opinion. Joe Flacco with the Broncos.
Oh, boy. I'll go with Brissett. I feel like Falco's just, again, he's kind of reached the back nine of that career and probably the final few holes of that career.
Yeah, totally agree there. Final one on the list here, Mitch Trubisky.
Probably Trubisky. Yeah, I mean, I know that defense did a lot of the heavy lifting last year, but still, I think I'd go with him.
Okay, so you took only Case Keenum, and you took, I believe, over him, you took Keenum, Rosen, and Andy Dalton. And Flacco. So four of these 10. So you place Brissett around 26, 27 on this list. Where do you personally believe Jacoby Brissett? Because I know Frank Reich's definitely a lot higher than where we both are on him.
Yeah, I haven't done that exercise. I thought that was a really good idea there, Evan. I would, before, if you would have just asked me, you know, like where does he rank, I would have said around the 30 mark. I think that's kind of always been the number that I felt like. I mean, to get in the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL, I mean, those are some pretty good names on that list, and that's extremely high praise. And it's tough to judge Jacoby Brissett when you are only really going off. I mean, he hasn't played a meaningful snap since 2017. It was just a disastrous situation that he was thrown into. And yes, he was a former third round pick. Like, you know, I mean, the New England Patriots thought really highly of him when they drafted him. So that means something to me. But what I've seen in practice and what I've seen in the first couple of preseason games, I just can't say that he's a top 20 guy. You know, I know Frank Reich always alludes to, you know, toughness, accelerated vision, and accuracy as the three things that really make up an elite quarterback in this league. and I look at what Jacoby Brissett did, outstanding on that third series Saturday night. I mean, that was accelerated vision. That was seeing where rushers are coming from, sidestepping those rushers, keeping plays alive, some tremendous ball placement. That's good. But then you go back to week one against the Bills, and it's a little bit of a throw behind Devin Funchess that doesn't allow Funchess make yards after catch. That's something top 20 quarterbacks don't do. They make that throw in stride and allow their wideouts or their tight ends, whatever, to make plays after catch. And then I even go back to the second series, which this is a tough throw to make. This is on Saturday night against the Browns. The third down out, I think it was to Zach Pascal. It's a tough window to fit a ball into, but Andrew Luck fits that ball in there, keeps the drive alive, and Jacoby Brissett didn't do that there. So, again, I think Brissett has room to grow and can grow and really needs just playing reps to make that growth. But right now I can't sit here and say he's much higher than the top, 25 quarterback in the NFL.
This is looking ahead a little bit here. We're talking more towards February, March of 2020, but where do you lean right now? Obviously, this new Andrew Luck injury situation, he's been injured. I wouldn't say he's injury prone just because it's so up in the air and variant right now. But let's say that Jacoby Brissett is going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2020. Would you be surprised if Chris Bauer maybe throws in the franchise tag or maybe backs the Brinks truck a little bit for a backup like Jacoby Brissett keeps around long term just in case of glass breaks, in case of emergency, Andrew Luck gets hurt again the next couple of years?
Well, I think if it were up to Chris Ballard, he would want to bring back Jacoby Brissett big time. But Jacoby Brissett is a competitor, and he wants to go have an opportunity to start in the NFL. So I don't think there's going to be really any amount of money that maybe gets Jacoby Brissett to return to Indianapolis and continue to be a backup. But I think you make a good point. Obviously, we aren't going to call Andrew Luck injury prone, but you can't ignore the off seasons and some of the regular seasons that you've had to deal with over the past 3 or 4 years with him. And I do think having a more competent or maybe investing a little bit more in a backup than you normally would be a wise move. So I don't know if that's, okay, a veteran competes with Chad Kelly for the backup job next year. Do you go sign a veteran on the open market? He competes with Chad Kelly this time next year for that backup job. Do you draft a quarterback relatively high? I'm talking third or fourth round. I know a lot of people think that's kind of foolish, but, Frank Reich has been a part of organizations that have done that. Chris Ballard was a big part of the Kansas City kind of operation when they went from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. He left right before that draft, but did a lot of research on Patrick Mahomes. So I think those are all very, very fair questions that you have to ask. But right now, I still think Jacoby Brissett wants an opportunity to go start elsewhere. And then that would mean, potentially a veteran backup with Chad Kelly competing for that backup job next year.
I'm glad you brought up the draft option because I think it's really intriguing what you brought up there as far as what they could do in the draft. Carolina is a team that I want to monitor real quick because they took Will Grier 86 overall in the draft. They have Cam Newton coming off that shoulder surgery. I think that was just a case of emergency glass breaks the next 4 or 5 years of Cam Newton. Would that surprise you at all if they take like a quarterback in the top 85, top 90 next year just in case something happens?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. It actually probably would surprise me. I mean, if Andrew Luck is healthy this season, and whatever, if he needs a cleanup in the offseason, he has a cleanup. And you still have Chad Kelly around, and you go out. I can't say I've looked at the free agent market for quarterbacks in 2020, but, you go out and you find your version of Josh McCown or whatever, then that's how I would roll into the offseason. I would shy away from taking a quarterback like that just because I a waste of a pick is too harsh because when you call it a waste of a pick, sooner or later you might need that guy. But I still think there are other areas of need on this football team from a depth standpoint that you have to bolster. But I could see Chris Bowden and Frank Reich doing it.
Before we go into our final segment here with Kevin Bone, I want to tell everyone really quickly about our final two sponsors of today's show. And the first one comes from DoorDash. You've had a long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is very easy. You open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered right to you wherever you want. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities are on DoorDash in their app. So really, almost everywhere you go, DoorDash is there waiting for you, in over 50 states and in Canada as well. Our call to action right now, if you haven't already, listeners, $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's a great deal if you want to get on that. Again, that is promo code Locked On, your first order of $15 or more. Our final sponsor of today's show comes from Blue Chew. Guys, let's have a talk real quick. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the other color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. All right, Kevin, we'll close out the last few minutes of today's show with your biggest takeaways and also your bowl predictions. We'll start off with your biggest takeaways so far from camp and preseason. I know you've written a lot about Rocky Yacine, but anyone else out there that stands out to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly Rock. I would say offensively, I've been really impressed by Christian Hogan. You know, I feel bad for him that there's just not a spot on this 53-man roster. I think Zach Pascal will end up making this team with the latest on the Paris Campbell injury situation. I think that just strengthens the need to have a six wideout to start the year. Obviously, Hale Hinchis has been a popular name that we've talked about. I'd say those are some of the and Jonathan Williams, a running back. I'd say those are the positives offensively. The negatives on that side of the ball, I just don't think the offensive line has been as all pro as you would like it to be. I worry about the depth there as well. Flipping over to the defense, I think we've seen Kamoko Turi provide that edge speed rush. I still think he needs to help you out better on rundowns if he wants to be a three-down guy. Ben Banigou had a really tough start to camp, but I think he's come on a little bit of late. I thought he flashed on Saturday against the Browns. One name that's really low on the list, won't make the team, but has impressed me, is Caron Reed, number 75, a defensive tackle. I think he's been pretty good. Grover Stewart has been really good as well. Obviously, Danico Autry was a stud. You know, EJ Speed and Bobby Okereke, you see moments from them. Certainly, Speed has made a huge jump from where I thought he would be at. But if you watch that Saturday film from both of them, there were some big-time rookie moments from each of them in that game, and I think that just goes to show you how valuable Anthony Walker is to this football team. And then lastly, in the secondary, you know, we've mentioned Rocky Sin, and I don't think Quincy Wilson's had a bad camp or a bad month of August. I just think Rock has done so much from a playmaking standpoint to earn that starting nickel job right now to round out that five-man defensive back group. You know, safety-wise, I still worry about Mathias Farley's spot on this football team. You know, do the Colts have a fifth safety? Is it Rowan Milligan? Is it Farley? Do they think Marvell Tell can make the team and provide a little bit of flexibility there in a pinch? I think those are all some questions to have here over the next 10 days before roster cuts.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be fun to watch these roster battles happen and see what happens here in the next couple weeks of preseason. But let me ask you real quick, so you brought up the running back position with Jonathan Williams. Williams is hurt right now, so is Jordan Wilkins. He brought in three running backs off the street. Are you still worried now? I mean, we had this issue last year where Marlon Mack was hurt for a couple games and the running game really stalled out. If Mack gets hurt again, are you more confident now with the stable they have, or really this is the same kind of trepidations?
You know, I would say the same sort of trepidation. More injury-related right now. I mean, I like what Jonathan Williams showed when healthy during the preseason, and I've always been more of a Jordan Wilkins guy, I think, than maybe the Colts are. But you have some injuries there that you have to keep an eye on, and you are one Marlon Mack injury away from all of a sudden that, I mean, if they were up to me, I wouldn't be playing Marlon Mack on Saturday. It, you know, it's just, he needs to be in bubble wrap. So, but I still like how Frank Reich can mix and match Mack and then Hines. And I think Williams has shown you something that you would feel comfortable about giving him more of a role. But still, I mean, that is a group that you are really one injury away from. Now you're scrambling a bit, and Jonathan Williams is a guy that might get 18 carries or 16 carries in a game if you don't feel as comfortable using Nyheim Hines kind of as that bell cow back on first and second down. So I think there are several injuries to watch. And, you know, as we get in the next 10 days, you have to be honest with yourself about some of these questions of the 53-man roster. Do you carry a third quarterback? Do you need extra running backs early in the season? Is Jordan Wilkins a candidate to go on IR because he's just been out for so long and he doesn't have, you know, a secure role within your, you know, one or two deep depth chart? Do you need an extra wideout for Paris Campbell, an extra defensive end for Jabal Sheard? Do any injuries happen Saturday as well? I mean, these are all questions I think we need to start. Just have an honest conversations about – because you know Chris Ballard and his staff will have to have those in the next week or so.
Last one I got for you, Kevin. Appreciate the time as always. Let me get your bold predictions. Maybe one or two or three from this upcoming season if you have them.
Oh boy. Bold predictions. I will say at some point this year, Deion Kane supplants Devin Funchess as the number two wideout.
Ooh, I like it.
I just think Deion Kane is I think he's on the come big time. I mean, I love the fluidity that he shows and just how smooth. I'm a big Deion Kane guy. So there's a bold prediction. I will say Justin Houston. The Colts think Justin Houston will be a sack guy in the teens. I'll say Justin Houston is more around 10 sacks. I'm not ready to say he'll have 13 or 14 some sacks this year. The Colts feel like that is possible for him. Those are two bold predictions. I can't really think of a third off the top of my head right now, but those are a couple that I can be ripped on here in a couple months.
No problem at all, Kevin. I appreciate the time. You can go follow Kevin on Twitter if you haven't already, at KBowen1070. And, of course, subscribe to his podcast over there, Kevin's Corner with Julia Molinaro. Appreciate the time, Kevin. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, Evan, I'll throw in another plug, like you mentioned at the start, 6:30 a week from Wednesday, the 28th, at a St. Joseph Brewery and Public House. It's downtown Indianapolis in the Mass Ave, Lockerbie era. We will have it's a free event. We'll kind of do a live version of the podcast. Hopefully have some giveaways as well. So I appreciate you coming out for that, Evan. And if anyone has any questions about that, just hit me up on Twitter, KBowen1070.
Absolutely, Kevin. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again here in a couple weeks. Appreciate it.